All right, it's Friday training. We're rocking and rolling. This is a fun training today because one of the biggest problems I've had in my career is the frequency difference between thinking and doing and analyzing and logic compared to emotion, the energy and motion. And one of the greatest lessons I've learned is don't get so busy working that you forget to make money. Don't get so busy thinking that you get nothing done. Overthinking is the most polished form of procrastination. Overthinking, analyzing, logicking is the most polished form of procrastination. We dress it up as preparation, analysis, and strategy. But in reality, it's fear pretending to be productivity. Let me repeat that. It is fear pretending to be productivity. And that creates a reaction to fear. And then that response to that reaction creates an interference between you and your activity and potential. The more time we spend spinning in our heads, the less time we spend building, learning, connecting, and growing. This training, if you'd like it, david@dmeltzer.com, david@dmeltzer.com, is about disrupting this cycle. It's about closing the gap between intention and action so we can stop getting ready to get ready and start doing. 100% of the things you do now get done. If you don't have a list of what to do now and to do next, you're creating interference, you're slowing things down, and you need to understand you are just polishing a form of procrastination. Whether you are a leader, creator, entrepreneur, your success will be determined by your ability to act with clarity, with harmony, with focus, and even in uncertainty. Let's shift from overthinking to execution and unlock the results that only movement can create. Nothing happens until we move. The first lesson in understanding that overthinking, stop overthinking and start doing, is overthinking is the enemy of execution. Overthinking, a polished form of procrastination, makes us feel overwhelmed. And that stops us from prioritization. Overthinking is fear pretending to be logic. It interferes with our energy, our intuition, our intelligence, our action. It drains our energy through that interference, installs action, and convinces us that planning is progress. But nothing happens until we move. So many talented entrepreneurs that I work with spend months analyzing a new product. So many authors I work with have so many different forms of and renditions of their book that a new book, a new product idea never launches. Some people have written 6 books and never launched one just because they're stuck in the overthinking mode and not the action mode. Meanwhile, so many competitors go live with a less polished version and gain market share. They make money. They help people. They have fun. They don't just sit around dreaming about what they want. Not to say you shouldn't utilize the AAA strategy to, yes, get alignment with what's doing well, what's stable and you think is doing well, and then take action and prepare for adjustment. But you can't spend your whole life in alignment, especially today where the speed in which the uncertainty and the change of value, emotion happens so quickly. You are going to be further and farther behind if you stick yourself in analysis when you can find out how the capabilities that you have with your product, service, solution, or brand are aligned with what's doing well, what's stable, and what you think is doing well. It's time to take action. Stop procrastinating with the polished form of overthinking, analysis, logic. Execution will beat the focus of attention every day. Execution is placing into respect the order of intention by doing and saying and then thinking, believing, and feeling. Progress comes from the imperfect action, not the perfect idea. I will repeat that. Your progress in the pursuit of your potential, not what other people want, not what other people think, not what's missing, not what you don't have. Progress comes from the imperfect action, not the perfect ideas. We need to reframe overthinking as a form of resistance, of interference, of lengthening the distance of resistance. We want to shorten that with the wisdom and the faith that our actions will protect us, promote us, love, and perfect us. Not to say we haven't gotten alignment with what's doing well, what's stable, what we think is doing well with the capabilities that we have. But once we do, it's time to move. We all need to commit to testing one idea each and every day, even if it's not quote unquote perfect. Make a commitment to test and go. Don't wait until you know. Test and go. Don't wait until you know. We need to make sure that overthinking does not become the interference or the enemy of our execution. The second lesson is to escape the loop. Escape the mental loop trap. Get out of the infinite loop, the circle, the repetitive nature of creating this interference. Our brains, they crave certainty, and there's only one certainty in the future, and that's the guarantee of God, the 24 hours each and every day that he's guaranteed us in our human experience, defined by the time your heart starts till it stops. The brains crave the certainty, so give it to it. Apply time to the activities, the negotiable, non-negotiable, hybrid negotiable, to the plan, the unplanned, to your sleep, to the activity you get paid for and activity you don't get paid for. Our brains crave certainty, so replay the same scenario looking for the perfect outcome, but that loop will never end. Put time into its place and apply the prioritization and the application of why. So many professionals that I work with debate switching careers for months and months and years, thinking through every scenario, but yet remain stuck in the same role, living the myth of Sisyphus, living their lives like tubes, food in and food out every day, year after year. But take the example of the previous at Scott Simon show there with Ramon, the gentleman who has 2,200 calls in a business that he started while he was working another business because he applied a certain amount of time and then shifted the amount of time that he spent on what he thought was his main gig into what became his main gig that used to be his side gig. He was just applying his why and utilizing the certainty of time, the 24 hours that you're guaranteed every day in the human experience, the time your heart starts till the time it stops. Every day, you're allotted 24 hours for those behaviors. But most people overthink it, and they don't do it. They don't do it for a minimum amount of time every day, the only certainty that exists, and our brains crave it, and so they stick into an attachment to the perfect outcome, and that loop never ends. Collapse the timeline. Ask yourself, with what I'm doing right now, will it matter in 10 minutes? Will it matter in 10 months? Will it matter in 10 years? For the sake of what am I going to do this, overthinking is only going to stop me from doing. Let's use this 10-10-10 rule to break the analysis and paralysis that exists by asking us, for the sake of what am I doing it and will it matter in 10 minutes, 10 months, or 10 years? Shorten these decision cycles to create momentum. Create the momentum by applying the time and the why to the activities you get paid for, unpaid for, sleep, and as well as planned and unplanned. Utilize time to align, not to overthink. Align with what's doing well, what's stable, and you think is doing well. And you will escape the mental loop trap that exists. The third lesson, count the hidden costs of inaction. Go ahead and quantify. If you don't quantify, you can't measure, you can't improve. Somebody needs to mute, by the way. There's some background sound, Nick, so if you can make sure everybody's muted. Count the hidden costs of inaction. Every moment spent overthinking, not aligning, but overthinking, is a moment you're not creating, connecting, and growing. Inaction has an opportunity cost. It has a price, a quantitative measurement. You can measure it with time, emotion, value, emotionally, financially, energetically. These hidden costs are far greater than the actual hard costs. Delaying a key conversation with a partner leads to a missed opportunity and an ongoing resentment, guilt, interference that will drain our focus for weeks, months, and years. Delaying other opportunities, options, and touches of favor will cause that response to the reaction to the fear utilizing the opportunity costs for weeks, months, and years. Perfection is the lowest standard because it doesn't exist. There is no perfect. It is out of the realm. It's, to me, the bottom of the line. It's something in which I pursue my perfection, my potential, but focus in on the process by not overthinking, but aligning instead, and then taking action and preparing for adjusting. There is no more analysis, logic, overthinking. So many times we don't realize it, but we cannot change an emotion with logic. How many times have you gone to bed going, let it go, let it go, let it go, and wake up thinking about the same thing? How many times have you tried to out-logic an emotion? There's only one thing at the same frequency as emotion, and that is action, and action will resolve that emotional interference and put you into a divine direction or create a detour in its divinity or allow. In the predisposition of surrender, the divine time that it takes to get to where you want to be or better. Each time you delay a decision, write it down, make it real, align it with what's doing well, what's stable, and what you think is doing. Write it down, make it real, quantify it. Each and every time you delay a decision, quantify the opportunity cost of what it has cost you in time, value, emotions, time, peace, money, or relationships. Write it down, quantify it. Don't overthink it. Utilize it to show you the hidden costs of inaction, the opportunity costs of inaction. Lesson number 4, turn your worry, duplicative negative in your life, right? Worry is not only a wasted emotion, but it's a duplicative negative because it interferes worrying with where you want to be. It creates overthinking, but it also is wishing for what you don't want. Turn worry into action. Turn it into productivity. Allow it to get you up, get you back up, get you started, get you back started. Worry consumes the same bandwidth as productivity. It consumes the same energetic spectrum, strength, and clarity as productivity. The difference is it's a duplicate of negative. Not only does it create more interference and produce nothing, but it's wishing for what you don't want. Action is the antidote to anxiety. I will repeat that. Action is the antidote to anxiety, especially if aligned with what you want, what you desire, and with what's doing well, what's stable, and what you think it's going to be doing well. Instead of stressing about the upcoming events, situations, presentations, a speaker who drafts their slides early channels nervous energy, not excitement, into the preparation and the clarity. They worry about what it's going to be like instead of keep preparing. So many golfers or athletes that I work with get in their own way and never reach their potential. As you get older, you wonder why certain people who had all the talent in the world didn't make it where the Tom Brady's of the world, drafted in the 4th round, are the GOATs. Because it is the preparation, alignment, what's doing well, what's doing when you think is doing well, not the nervous energy. It's in excitement, not in anxiety. And action is the antidote to anxiety. It's practicing every day for a minimum amount of time, quantifying and measuring our project progress in 1,000 steps. And if anybody would like the training guide today, by the way, of stop overthinking and start doing, and 1,000 steps that it takes to get to where you want to be or better, knowing that 90% of everything you got, what you do, say, think, feel, and believe, everything that you got, money, time, emotion, everything you got only gets you to 250 steps. And most people quit before they get to 250 steps, but it's going to take you 1,000 steps to get to where you want to be. And yet only the last 10%. We'll get you to the other 750 steps. Every worry contains a hidden task, a hidden action. Utilize gratitude, empathy, and accountability to find the light, the love, and the lesson, the hidden task, and ask yourself, what am I supposed to learn from it? What did I do, say, think, feel, and believe that I can learn from it? What did I do to be responsible to attract it and participate in the perception of it? And what am I supposed to learn from it? Every worry, all anxiety contains a hidden task, an action aligned with what's doing well, what's stable, and what you think is doing well. Once again, each time that you worry, list it out. See what clues you have of what is your worries. Look for the patterns of what makes you worry, and then make better choices by taking action in a divine direction. Create one action step for each of these worries and turn them from concern into movement. Nothing happens until it moves. Excitement is the same frequency as worry and anxiety. Change that concern into action to get you up, get you back up, get you started, get you back started, or get you there to where you want to be or better. Lesson 5, schedule your doubt. You run your calendar. I will teach all of you to be a student in the calendar. We've done a student in the calendar training. Happy to send you that training exercise guide along with this one or books. This is important to understand how to be a student of your calendar, how to schedule your doubt. You run your calendar. You pay attention to and give intention to the coincidences, the coinciding of your outcomes. It's the mathematical equation of luck that is inherent within the student of the calendar. And if you don't run your calendar, if you're not a student of your calendar, I promise you, your thoughts will run you and there will be no action. You will sit at home high, broke, on your mom's couch, unemployed, dreaming about what you want. And those thoughts will run you and you'll never get to where you want to be or better. So many executives that I work with, they schedule, you know, time, 15-minute blocks to process what they're worried about. They process it as part of their calendar. They give time to the reaction to their fear and the response to those reactions and processes, knowing doubt has a place to help them stay focused for the rest of the day. So schedule your worry blocks, schedule your anxiety blocks, give it a minimum amount of time every day, create a quantitative analysis of alignment, action, and adjustment in order to facilitate to make easy what you want to do or better in your day. You can acknowledge fear without knowing it or obeying it. It doesn't matter what you're afraid of, because if you are afraid for any reason, we know the ego will evoke itself with a reaction to that fear. And then we can prepare for the response to that reaction. And so as we feel the need to be right, offended, separate, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, angry, guilty, resentful, any of these separate feelings, that reaction is natural. We can see the clues and the patterns, but now we make a better choice in the response to that reaction. And we stop in wisdom and faith and drop down to center to recollect, remind, and remember with our source, the omniscient, all-powerful, all-knowing source of everything for everyone. And then we roll back into our divine direction. Scheduling your doubt is a great process in order to facilitate the activity, the action, the movement that's necessary. Go ahead, set a time in your calendar. Be a student of it. You can even just put in your calendar for 5, 10, 15 minutes. Call it overthinking. Let yourself process the overthinking and then get back to work. Don't get so busy working, you forget to make money. Don't get so busy thinking, you forget to make money. And then any doubt that arises, write it down and defer it into that block of time in which you have given it your attention and intention to create the coincidences that you want by aligning, taking action, and preparing for adjustment. In the preparation of adjustment is the place in your calendar that you have put and prepared for overthinking. Lesson 6, let your future self decide. As everybody knows, one of the favorite quotes that I have and mantras that I give myself beyond I am happy, I am healthy, I am wealthy, and I am worthy, what am I doing to interfere with it, is be kind to your future self. One of the ways that we're kind to our future self beyond doing good deeds is to be kind to your future self and let your future self decide. We make better decisions when we zoom out, not in. We make better decisions when we zoom out emotionally And this version of who we are, who has already succeeded, has more clarity, harmony, and focus than the one trying to control everything right now. So many times I make statements about where I want to be or better and finish it or conclude it with, it's done, it's done, it's done. I zoom out emotionally, giving myself a perspective of the version who has already succeeded. It's done, it's done, it's done. So many founders that I work with hesitate on a key hire. They hesitate on hiring until they ask, what would the future version of me do if revenue were double? Take, for example, our friend with 2,200 leads who hopefully will email me to help finance that business and guide and advise that business because it has the potential of what's doing well, what's stable, and what he thinks is doing well. He just needs people who sit in a situation that have already been there to ask for directions. That revenue for double and double and double. And that clarity shifts everything. It's just what he does, says, thinks, feels, and believes. It's done, it's done, it's done. Letting his future self decide with aligning with what's doing well, stable, what he thinks is doing now. Taking action in the same trajectory, but preparing for adjustment. If you trust your future self's vision, you will trust your future self's decisions. I'll repeat that. If you trust your future self's vision, you will trust your future self's decisions. Knowing you're in a divine direction, by knowing what you want, who you can help, who can help you, and how best to get it done, to prioritize that overthinking, the antidote to overthinking, overwhelmness, and procrastination. Stop polishing your procrastination and make those decisions for your future self. Give yourself time to overthink. Schedule it. Minimum amount. Quantify it. But when you feel stuck, just stop. Drop. Enroll. Let me conclude the training and just to remind people, lesson 6 was let your future self decide. And it's trusting your future self vision to trust your future self's decision. Remind yourself, it's done, it's done, it's done. Speaking of it's done, it's done, it's done. In conclusion of overthinking, stop overthinking and start doing, we must understand the truth is simple. Regardless of the simple things to do or simple not to do, no one overthinks their way to success. Nobody. They align, take action and adjustment. Anybody want that AAA strategy? The training from today, it's not a problem. David@bmeltzer.com. Stop overthinking your way to success. We think, we prepare, we visualize, but then we must act. The AAA strategy, alignment, action, and preparation for adjustment, execution is what separates the dreamers from the doers, the talkers from the builders. And we want to remember and remind and recollect that overthinking is the enemy of execution. We must escape from the mental loop trap. We have to count the opportunities and the opportunity cost and the hidden cost of inaction. Let's turn our worry into action. Be a student of your calendar. Schedule your doubt. Take a minimum of 5, 10, 15 minutes a day to schedule the overthinking and the doubt. And remember, let your future self decide. This training isn't about being reckless. It's about being intentional. Email me for this training, David@dmeltzer.com. It's done, it's done, it's done. Every strategy that we've covered, from collapsing mental loops to scheduling doubt, is designed to help you move forward in accelerated, aggregated, compounding the impacts that you have with purpose, with profits, with passion. Remember, clarity and harmony is earned through action, not over analysis. The next time you're stuck in your head, stop, drop, and roll. Pause, breathe, and move, because your future isn't waiting for you to think about it. It's waiting for you to show up in it. Be kind to your future self. Do good deeds and make the decision to take action. Stop overthinking and start doing. Overthinking is the most polished form of procrastination. Utilize what you want, who you can help, who can help you, and how to get it done to prioritize the antidote to procrastination and feeling overwhelmed to apply your why to where you want to be or better. This has been the Stop Overthinking and Start Doing training with a little bit of a pause and a technical glitch, but I'm blessed to have a great team with me, and I want to thank them and everybody for their patience. We do have some time to take more questions. Nick Abwam, why don't you go ahead, set the room, and let's take some more questions. Does that sound fair?
All righty, let's do it, everybody. Thank you so much. And again, we are opening things up for Q&A for the Stop Overthinking, Start Doing training. And if you would like the guide and exercise from today's training, you know where to go. David@dmeltzer.com. If for any reason you don't have a copy of David's book, which he will send you a copy, sign a copy, and even pay for shipping, you know where to go. David@dmeltzer.com. And for everybody that is joining us and has a question for David today, if you're online, please make sure to put your questions into the chat. If you're live here on Clubhouse, either use the hand icon to request to join the stage or even put a footnote in the room chat, and I'll be happy to pass the microphone your way. And for our next question, Dave, I actually want to take one here from the room chat on Clubhouse. This is coming from Bradford Wally, and he is asking, would you rather have 2,200 customers that do not align with your values or one customer that does?
Customers. So if he was going to say prospects, I'd rather have 2,200 prospects that are not aligned with my value, that I could re-engineer their vision and their value into alignment of the articulation of value to exceed what they're and I'm asking for. But as far as customers go, you're not in business. If you have 2,200 customers not aligned with your value and one that is, you're out of business. That's guaranteed. So for sure, I would rather have one customer aligned that I could grow from and through than 2,200 that are costing me money. Look, in every business, Nick, 80% of your customers already would bankrupt you. So listen to me. And so what happens is, and not necessarily even without alignment of value, it's just value itself, that 80% of the customers will bankrupt you because they either break even for you or lose you money. And if all you had was customers that break even for you and lose you money, you'd be bankrupt. So beyond that fact that most people don't take an intention to the profitability, when you create an LLC, the first little box is for profit or not for profit. If you check for profit, then you better make sure that your customers are profitable, that you're making money so you can help people and have fun. When most people, not only aren't the values aligned, but even worse, the profit's not aligned either. And so in this question, it's quite obvious. One, you would not be in business. It'd be impossible to have 2,200 customers not aligned with your values. So it's just an impossible question. It's a not real question. But if you're going to build a business or buy a business, would you buy a business with customers that aren't aligned, or with more customers that aren't aligned or not profitable, or with customers that are profitable? I would rather have 20% profitable customers. So let's say there's a total of 1,000 customers in business. I would rather have only 200 customers that are profitable than 1,000 customers with 200 profitable and 80% breaking even or losing me money. And so within the context of relativity association, bleeding and feeding, derive the values of your business, the culture of your business. But let's be honest, you know, if you're in business, an e-commerce business, do you give a shit what your customers' values are that are buying the ferocious Buddha hat? Like how would you even determine that? Like, so there's a lot of different layers to that question. And I would more than happy be able to kind of talk through more specifics with that person, Molly, I think, in order to facilitate getting to the bigger issue that's at hand. But hopefully inherently within that question, there's a lot of hopeful nuggets that can help people as they move forward and align the profitability, the passion, and the purpose of their activity they get paid for. Excellent questions today. Let's keep it rocking and rolling. Once again, thank you for your patience as we had a technical glitch right at the tail end of the training. David at dmeltzer.com. Nick Avam, it's the fourth quarter. Let's bring it home with some great questions. What do you say?
Absolutely. We got Hitul, who is here patiently waiting on Clubhouse, ready for the next question. Hitul, the mic is yours, my friend. Feel free to unmute yourself and carry us out with the next question.
Nick, thank you, Dave. This continues to be a fixture in my week.
It's been a fixture for more than half my life, coming on 28 years. So you and I have that in common. And I just want to say thank you for showing up and being consistent in all the progress. And the passion is appreciated. So thank you.
Thank you so much. I take that as a massive kind of a boost and a win. So this is uncomfortable, but here we are. I'm going to say it. So my result, I don't know what I don't know, and there could be some ego here, but my results are undershoot what I perceive as my ability and potential, and potential you might feel is unlimited. Now, today's training speaks directly to that. And again, being objective and looking myself in the mirror and looking at the scales as they are, if I'm standing on them, I see a litany of unfinished projects, ventures, flashes of brilliance which are left. So there might be some neurodivergence coming in here, but I'm not going to hang my hat completely on that. So knowing me as you do and given your expertise, what advice would you have, or how would you respond to what I'm saying, David?
Well, first, let's just look at the paradigm at a higher level that I am. What am I doing to interfere with it? So if I am, then I'm always going to have outcomes that are beneath my potential, beneath my own self-image, beneath my own imagination, because I'm furthering the concept of infinite. And within the context of the infinite and the part and parcel of the infinite, abundant, unified system of thought in which I belong and you belong, creates a greater understanding or intention on what am I doing to interfere with it. And the simplest way to determine what we're doing to interfere with it in intention of what am I doing to interfere with it, saying to interfere with it, thinking to interfere with it, believing to interfere with it, and feeling to interfere with it, lies the understanding of, for me, where I want to be or better. Given the possibility and probability and perspective of the infinite or better, because the infinite always has better. And so inherent in an understanding and awareness that as I pursue my potential, I will always fall beneath my self-image, my imagination, the infinite, the plus one. And utilizing this philosophy, then I can go ahead and focus in on the simple way that I interfere with it, which is I am afraid each and every day. I react to that fear in the same or similar ways. I then respond to that reaction that's evoked by my ego there to protect me, promote me for any time I think, feel, say, do, or believe I'm afraid. Regardless of what I'm afraid of, that's irrelevant. But within the context of my automatic biochemical, bioanatomical reaction to fear lies the interference of how I respond to the reaction of fear. Do I worry? Do I overthink? Do I outanalyze, outlogic it? Or do I stop and breathe and drop and recollect, remind, and remember to that infinite, abundant, unified system of thought in which we talked about? Do I stop and drop into ease, into the flow, so that I can go, instead of create resistance? Am I utilizing the wisdom and the faith that I've been provided in the infinite, abundant, unified system of thought in order to accelerate, aggregate, and compound exponentially towards where I want to be or better, in a predisposition of surrender and a disposition of intention? And when I realize the simplicity in the concept and the paradigm shift that I am healthy, I am happy, I am wealthy, and I am worthy to an infinite possibility. What am I doing to interfere with it? What am I doing to interfere with it? Am I giving the wrong meaning to the past, which will limit my potential? Or am I responding to the reactions of fear in the interfering way that then changes the past even further to interfere further with my self-image or my imagination? Knowing, as you stated, you'll never overachieve your own self-image. And so within the context of I am, happy. I am healthy. I am wealthy. I am worthy. Let's figure out and utilize what I'm doing to interfere with it without overthinking it. And let's take action. Let's take movement. Let's listen to Einstein that nothing will happen until it moves. And let's move in a divine direction. Let's move when the detours occur in a promoted, protected, loved, and perfected way. Let's move into divine time and allow things with a predisposition, with a predisposition of faith, of surrender, to seek the wisdom, the light, the love, and the lessons in everything that we do, knowing we are only here to learn lessons, knowing the lessons will keep on coming until we learn them, knowing that we will forget every lesson ever learned in the infinite, but we have the power to remind, remember, and recollect the infinite lessons as well through our human experience divided by 24 hours a day, utilizing that certainty to get along in our way in an accelerated, aggregated, compounding, exponential way. Every time I speak with you, the tool, I can see an elevated awareness, a different layer of the onion peeled off, a different way to do what you thought you were doing in a way that will get you to where you want to be or better by clearing the interference between what you want and what you're doing to interfere with it. Does that sound fair? All right, my brother. Well, enjoy your weekend. Thank you for showing up. You know, sometimes it's difficult in the position where you want things more for the person than they want it themselves. You are not one of those people. I can tell you want it bad. You have to have a desire to be what you must be. Thank you, Hitul. I will talk to you soon.
Following for our next question for the day, I'm going to pass it over to Jackie G here live on Clubhouse, and then the Meltzer double, Mr. Eric Meltzer, who's waiting in the wings. But Jackie, take it from here.
Thank you, Nick. Thank you, David. And good morning, David, from your future.
Good morning. How is New Zealand tomorrow?
New Zealand is chilly and very dark because it's 1:51 on Saturday morning.
Well, good morning to you, Jackie.
Good morning. Now, I've been scribbling furiously when you talked about let your future self decide and be kind to your future self. First of all, what I'd scribbled down was hold on a second. Progress comes from, that was the first thing. Progress comes from the first, the impact, imperfect action, and don't wait for the perfect moment. That's what I was thinking. You mentioned test and go, don't wait until you know. And all that you were saying, really, I was thinking of like analysis paralysis, most polished form of procrastination, everything you've said, but reminded me of the Einstein quote, we cannot solve our problems with the same kind of thinking we used when we created them. So would you say, really, by being kind to your future self and letting your future self decide, you're acting as if you are your future self, and so therefore you make your decisions from the wish fulfilled. So you are actually making you're manifesting your future self, and so therefore you're thinking as your future self would be thinking, rather than you striving to be your future self.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Even I could have said it better my future self. And next time I have technical difficulties, I think we'll bring Jackie G on to cover me, Nick, instead of you. That is exactly right. In the context of you can't solve a problem in the same consciousness in which it was created, lies another asset, another capability that we have today that we didn't have in the past, which is an asset that I use, a capability that I use in order to facilitate, to make easy my future decisions and my future self, because it's done. And proof of that in this omniscient, the remembrance, reminder, recollection of all lessons, or us, you know, unfortunate interference of forgetting every lesson that's ever been, lies AI. And it's so easy to take a situation or a question or a problem or interference and ask, how would Einstein solve this? And, you know, how would Einstein look at this? And we could actually use the guy who created the idea, but you can't solve a problem the same consciousness as we created, with actually the problems. And so when remember, within every problem is the solution. And that's what Right. And every problem, it's just a lapse of time before we find the resolution, the resolution. So there's a solution in every problem. There's a lapse of time within the context of linear time, the human experience, the guarantee of 24 hours. And so by changing consciousness, we change time, which brings a more rapid solution or resolution to the problem. You are brilliant, my friend. Enjoy your Saturday. I'll catch up with you. I'll be in Saturday in about, 20 hours or so, whatever, here, 18 hours. We love you. It'll be warmer here in California than New Zealand. If it's chilly there, it will be warmer here. We love you, Jackie G. Let's take the last question. Thank you. Nick of Wamnis. Remember, everyone, if you want the guides, the books, the 1,000 steps, the AAA strategy, the stop overthinking and start doing training guides, exercises, david@dmeltzer.com. I post it right there. david@dmeltzer.com. Email me if you want your future self to be brighter and lighter. All right, Nick, who has the next question?
Absolutely. We have the Meltzer double, Eric Meltzer, with the next question. Eric, happy Friday, my friend. Unmute yourself and ask away.
Cool. So thank you so much, Nick and Dave. The question I have is, why is it important time to our future at all? I have found I'm working on is that if I'm overly kind to myself, then it can lead to making excuses and procrastination and not following through.
You have found that if you are not kind, or you are kind?
If I am too kind, then I'm too forgiving, and then I slip.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. So there's no such thing as an overabundance of kindness. And so I think we have to understand what's causing this feeling that it's kindness or an over kindness that's causing procrastination. You must be defining some of the attributes of kindness incorrectly, because being kind to your future self and doing good deeds to illustrate it. So you may be caught into the context where you are utilizing forgiveness and justifying it to not do what you want to do, or better, not pursue or be intentional about what you'd want to do.
Yeah.
And so I think, having a better relationship with forgiving yourself so you can forgive others, but not allowing the forgiveness to slow down your action, your intention. Forgiveness should accelerate your intention. It should accelerate what you're doing, saying, thinking, feeling, believing. It should not create an interference or a polished procrastination. So I think what's happening, and this is just a guess, but what I think is happening is when you feel like you have been wronged, when you have a need to be offended or a need to be separate, inferior, superior, anxious, if you're not aligning the meaning of that lesson with where you want to be or better, you are such a forgiving, kind person, which I will vouch for. And he's not blood related. It's just he's blessed with the same name as I am, Meltzer, which means servant, waiter. You're a pleaser. And so being in the realm of aligning the meaning of the past and being a pleaser and being kind, you have to understand you're kind to your future self by forgiving yourself. We don't forgive others because they deserve it. We forgive others because you deserve it. You deserve to shorten the distance of resistance, the interference that's created by not forgiving yourself and others. And forgiveness has nothing to do with polishing your procrastination. Forgiveness allows you to clear the interference and allow you to be more intentional. You can see my hat, right? Ferocious Buddha. The Buddhist philosophy is a predisposition of kindness, of balance and harmony, of the 81 verses of the Tao, the way. But I'm ferocious in that. I'm ferociously grateful. I'm ferociously forgiving. I'm ferociously accountable. And I'm ferociously inspired. Because I do say, think, feel, and believe aligned with where I want to be or better. And I forgive myself for everything that I'm learning. And any time that I inadvertently, unintentionally have hurt somebody else or been perceived to hurt someone else. Let's shift the way you're looking at forgiveness. Let's shift the way you're looking at kindness. Make it a predisposition. And let's get ferocious about getting shit done. Does that sound fair?
That makes perfect sense. Yeah, thanks. I'm going to have to listen to that again.
So will I. Makes sense. All right. That's a great reminder, recollection, and reminiscence. This is David Meltzer. This has been the Stop Overthinking and Start Doing training. Be more interested than interesting. Be kind to your future self and do good deeds.